Thank you, Lord. Well, you made it out on a rainy Wednesday night, and you didn't listen to that other voice. I know people are thinking, that means when I come to church, I was listening to that other voice, right? And sometimes we are listening to the wrong voice. I was listening to someone earlier telling me that everything in them was saying, don't go, don't go, don't go tonight. Just stay home, just stay rest, whatever, you know. And I'm not going to mention who it is, but if I did, I'm sure they'll say, man, I'm glad I didn't listen to that voice. You know, I'm just glad to be here with y'all tonight. There is a special blessing when we gather together in the name of Jesus. You just can't get anywhere else. There's nothing like it when we're in unity, when our hearts are in harmony. And the love and the joy and the peace and the righteousness and the goodness of God just, you know, fills our lives. And there's just nothing. It's what the world is looking for. It's what everybody's looking for. We, you know, we want world peace, don't we? Sure we do. Well, there's only peace in the Prince of Peace. Problem is, there's another dude out there that's not very good, not very friendly, not very helpful. He makes people think that he's your friend, but he's really not. And he just draws you in with his little entrapments, and then he sinks his teeth into your life, and then you're hooked, and then you're his punk, you're his slave. I know, because I was one of them, but I also know that my God, Jesus Christ, the Lord, has set me free, and there's no weapon that can formed against me that shall prosper. I'm in the palm of my Father's hand. God has hidden me away in Christ, and he's given me a place of refuge. Have you found that refuge? Have you found that peace, the peace of God? It's in the heart of your Father, your Creator. And Jesus made a way for us, didn't he? He opened the door for us to come through. And he said, I am the door of the sheepfold. By me, if any man enters in, he shall find refuge. He shall find pasture, a place of rest. And the anxieties and the stresses and the worries and the fears and, you know, just the pressures of life in this world can only, you know, be resolved in the presence of God. Otherwise, we look for artificial means, you know, of self-medicating and make ourselves feel better. But that only lasts as long as the high, and then it's where's the next one coming from, you know? And then you become a slave to some artificial means of making yourself feel good. When God is saying, if you're stressed out, if you're worried, if you're fearful, if you're unsure about your future, you know, if you don't even understand it all, don't worry about it all. Don't try to figure it all out. Just come to me, and you'll find rest. You'll find refuge in my arms. And I was in my bedroom, and that night when my world was crashing down, and I just said, Jesus, help me. I was desperate. I meant business. I wasn't giving God lip service like I'd done before. You know, I'd made a lot of bargains with God before just because I wanted something from God. But this time I said, just Jesus, help me. I'm through with my ways. I've made a mess of my life. And I want you to save me. I didn't even say it that way. I really just said help. But I was desperate. And what I was saying is, Jesus, I need you to save me, to deliver me. And this, the presence of the Lord came into that room. And the demons and everything were just like, they moved out. And the presence of God came into that room. And the peace of God that passes all understanding swept through me. From the top of my head, as they say, to the soles of your feet. It's like having a shower on the inside. It's real. We're not playing some game. Yeah, some people play church, but to me, it's not playing. It's real. This is real. This is authentic. Yeah. He is alive. He is the living God. He's risen from the dead, and he is Lord. And he's preparing a people. He's preparing a bride for the coming of the bridegroom, Jesus Christ. And now is the time to get ready to meet the Lord. And God shook my life enough to get me to a place where I started to really see the depravity of my own ways. You know, has anybody been there, right? We've been there? You have to come to the place where you see the depravity of your own ways and realize that your ways are really not the best way. That's a hard lesson, isn't it? But it's necessary. Because unless we come to the realization that my way is really the way of death, I won't come into life. I won't come to Christ for life. So the Lord began to show me my life. He began to show me my, and like they say, like in one of those films, it was just a quick thing. I started just to see myself in a light that I'd never seen before. Because I always thought it was everybody else's fault, you know, for my problems and the way I was. I was living the blame game. God began to show me my life. And I tell you what, I didn't like what I saw. And all I could say is, God, help. Please forgive me. And he did. And you know, the first thing I did, I came out of that room and I ran over to Heisuk and I said, do you know where that Bible, that red Bible is? And she probably didn't even know which one I was talking, because that thing had been on the shelf probably for 15 years, you know. But when I was a kid, I had a Bible, and she says, I found it. I found, I dug and I found that Bible. And you know, the amazing thing is that I opened it up, and what used to be just kind of words and a bunch of confusion started, like the words began to now jump off the page, and I began to understand certain things. Not everything, but certain things, they were just like highlighted. And it was the Holy Spirit of God that was beginning to speak to me. I couldn't get enough. I got hungry and hungry and hungry. That's when you know you're born again. You'll have hunger for the word, for truth. You'll want it. You can't get enough of it. You'll be like that baby bird that's just, meh, meh, just tweeting for more, you know. And you open your mouth and God will fill it. And then the thing that really blew her away is I said, honey, I want to go with you to church Sunday. Because she started going, and she wasn't really Christian yet, but she was inquiring. She was just started to go, and some lady, because we were having such problems in our marriage that there was no hope except that somebody supernatural jumped into it, you know, stepped into it. And he did. Amazingly, he healed our marriage and turned it around. But I said, I want to go to church with you this Sunday. You do? That was her response. Because I'll tell you, my opinion in my mind of church was people sitting around, bored out of their skull, going through some routine, some ritual, playing the organ like some funeral dirge, you know. I mean, that was my idea. Am I right, Bruce? And that's all we knew, right? Is my biological brother, if you didn't know. And then there was times when I thought, oh, well, I think I'll go to church today. And I went in and they were just dead. There was no life in them. They were going through this routine. But the church she was going to was red hot, actually. So God set me up. And when I went there, it's like, man, it was Holy Ghost, you know, blast of the fire of God. And people were really alive. The music was alive. People were in life, you know. I didn't have to have anybody coach me or prompt me to give praise to God or even to lift my hands. Isn't that amazing? I was just desperate for God. I wanted more. I had been so far in the dark. I said, I'm running towards Jesus, running into the light. And it was this holy fear that came over me, a fear of taking God really seriously. I began to really take God seriously. I began to realize that my soul was in jeopardy, you know, that if I didn't repent, if I didn't turn from my ways, I was going to go to a devil's hell. I knew that. And out of desperation, I cried out. And then when I got into church and it was happening, I just said, Jesus, I want you. And a few weeks later, you know, God filled me with the Holy Spirit and I was speaking in tongues. And then they really couldn't shut me up after that. So I went back to my band. I was playing in a band at the time, and we were playing rock and roll in Tacoma. And I hadn't quit right away. I was still part of that, you know. I thought, I don't know, go back and play a little Sabbath, you know. And back in the day, now I've dated myself a little bit. But I went back to practice. We would just be jamming out and playing something, you know, Led Zeppelin, Aerosmith, this kind of stuff we did. When we'd have a break, I'd say, you guys heard about Jesus? Whoa. Yeah. I was on a higher plane, I'll tell you what. I've been really high before, but I've never been as high as I've been since I've come to Jesus. I mean, the real Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Not religion, but the real Jesus. Yeah. So I went back and I just started to talk to these guys, and they just, I mean, our drummer was back there doing some lines and stuff. Jesus. And so we were committed. We wanted to do something with the music, but God had other plans. And am I glad? And I never actually quit. They just didn't want to be around me anymore. I was a Jesus freak now. And I never regretted. And I say I'm guilty as charged, you know what I'm saying? Because I know He is real. He's the true God. He's eternal life, and He's the only way. And He's the only hope for any one of us, hope for the world. You got to turn to Him with all your heart, and you got to be willing to say, you know what, I'm done with my way. You know, we've offered people salvation without repentance, and people have been duped into thinking they're saved when they're not. Yeah. We've told people all you got to do is say this prayer and you're saved. No, Jesus said, unless you repent, you shall all likewise perish. That's the reality. And God had to bring me to a place of repentance, where it's like I was scared I was going to lose my soul, because I'd been messing around, you know, with the other side for a long time, and I was trapped. And I tried a few times along the way to fix myself, to get it together, but it never lasted. It'd be up and down like a roller coaster, you know, until there was repentance from the heart. And that's when God set me free and broke addictions in my life as well, when I came to the place where I'm like, I made up my mind, I'm done. I'm done with that. God broke the power of the addiction. And He's real. And, you know, the amazing thing is that I would have never dreamed that I would stand in front of people and talk about Jesus. You know? Or even be in a church. Frank, when I was at Camp Hovey, I went to that chapel that was there, and I don't know if you remember the guy that was there. He had a mohawk, the chaplain that was there. And yeah, well, it was a, you know, buzz cut, but it was military, but he had a mohawk. And I remember sitting down with him, because I just asked him some questions about life. This is before, you know, any of this happened. And, you know, some of those guys are just punching the clock. You know, they don't know the Lord. They just, you know, they wear a badge that says I'm a clergy, but they don't know Jesus even, you know. There's a lot of people like that in pulpits today. Amen? Yeah. So I asked a bunch of questions, and he didn't have any answers for me. So I said, well, I ain't going to find the answer here. So I started experimenting with other stuff, civil mind control and some of this stuff, you know. Yeah. And so God, you know, got a hold of me, though, and delivered me and called me to preach the gospel. And I started out with teenagers. And I think I scared them to death anyways. I don't know how many of them got saved, but I sure scared them pretty good. You know, like you could smell the smoke of hell when I got done preaching to them. So, but, you know, I mean, I had a genuine fear of God and a desire to see people come to Jesus, you know. And I didn't want them to perish, but I had to learn how to listen to God's voice, you know, and be led by the Holy Spirit. So one thing led to another, and here I am today in this place. This is 20-something years later. I can't go back. There's nothing to go back to. Is there a witness in here tonight? There's just nothing to go back to. Once you step over that line, it's like, man, what would I want back there? There's nothing but death in my past, you know. I'm living in life today. You know, it's not always easy. I struggle. We're in a battle. We're in a war. We all struggle. But I know my God, and I know my God is greater than the one in the world, you know. He's greater than Satan. He's greater than the principalities and powers. Jesus is Lord. He has all power, all authority. And He can set the prisoner free. With a word, He can set you free. But if we're willing to come His way and really give Him our hearts, give Him our lives and surrender, when you mean business with God, He will manifest himself. He'll show himself to you in a very real, tangible way. Now, I'm just going to speak off the cuff tonight because I feel the Lord directing me this way. And it's kind of been an unusual day where I've been in my office and I've kind of just been mulling over this and that. And, you know, there's a thousand things you can talk about. And you're saying, God, what do you want me to talk about? I really don't know what I'm doing, kind of thing. And then sometimes you don't know until you get to where you're going. You know, I have this thought tonight about the fatherhood of God. And I'm still discovering what this really means, but it's been a journey to discover what that really means, that he's really a father to me. Because I always had this concept of God being, I always believed in God, but I believed God was kind of like up there, you know, somewhere, that we prayed to him. And especially if you got in a bind, you can talk to God, right, way up there. But it wasn't so much of a personal God. I didn't realize that God was really that personal. And the fatherhood, that God actually wants to be our father or our spiritual father. And what does a father do? What is a father supposed to do? A father is supposed to provide. He's supposed to what? Protect. He's supposed to watch over. You know, a good father will take care of his family to the best of his ability. And so understanding the fatherhood of God, I want you to hear this tonight. Sometimes, in fact, most of the time, our opinion of God is not right. I'm still learning what the true God is like. After all these years, I can say I have a relationship with Jesus today, but I'm still discovering him because he's amazing and he's so huge. I mean, he's God of gods. We're talking about the Most High God that spoke everything into existence, that actually wants to be a father to the fatherless, a father to us. My concept, my opinion of God was based upon what I knew growing up. And many of us, it's the same thing. The way things were when you grew up in your home with your father, your earthly father, often will shape your view of what God is like, because your earthly father is your earthly authority. And it may not only be your earthly father, it could be your mother, it could be teachers at school, you know, it could be run-ins with the law, you know, people that were authorities that sometimes, you know, had taken the wrong path and gone off and done something they shouldn't have that wasn't true to their calling and to their position. But we make our judgments of God based upon our experience in life. Does that make sense? Based upon my experience, that's how I viewed God. And so, if you have an absent father, then it's hard for you to trust in a God who you don't see, who claims to be a father, but the only thing you've ever known is betrayal, or maybe just a hard taskmaster, dictatorship type of authoritarian ruler over the home, you know, that can also shape your view that God is just up there with a hammer waiting for me to mess up. And you have to live on eggshells all the time, hoping that you're just going to do the right thing, because if you don't, you're on your way to hell. You understand how that is why it is so important that we as earthly fathers pattern our lives after Jesus Christ, after God, and that we raise our children in the ways of the Lord. God is a good father. He loves us. He loves people. He loves people so much that he gave Jesus, his son, to die for us. Even when we were enemies to God, even when we were against God, he gave Jesus. Jesus, the son, was willing to lay down his life for us. He said, "No one's taken my life from me. I am laying it down willingly for you." That's how much God loves us. Look at the cross. That's why we keep the cross. And we say, remember what Jesus did for us there. He really does love us. And we have to be renewed in our minds. We have to reshape our thinking because our thinking is messed up based upon our experience in life. So thank God. There was a revelation right here in this book of what the true God really is like. And there's all kinds of different examples, Old and New Testament. And when Jesus came, he came to reveal the heart of the Father to us. He came to say, this is what God is really like. You've had all kinds of opinions about what God is like based upon your experiences and things that have happened in the past. But now I am here to reveal to you what God really is like. And he said to Philip, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Also, he was the exact representation of the Father on the earth. He was the Word who was with God in the beginning, who became flesh. God became a man, dwelt among us, and revealed what God is really like. And if you want to know what normal looks like, there is only one man, and he's not just man, but he's a God-man, that came on the scene in history, born of a virgin, born in a stable, in the lowliest of conditions, as a servant, as a carpenter's son. God Almighty becomes an invisible seed, at least to the naked eye, and was planted within the womb of a virgin who had never known a man, so that that bloodline would not be tainted and that blood could pay or atone for our sins. And then the Christ child was born and he revealed what God is really like. So if we want to know what normal looks like, don't look at me, don't look at your neighbor, look at Jesus. Now, the more that I look to Jesus, the more that I worship him, the more that I behold him, the more that I learn of him, the more I become like him. Because you'll become like whoever you idolize or whoever you behold. You know what I'm saying? If you have this rock star or this icon or this celebrity or whatever that is your idol and you just idolize this person, you know, everybody wants to dress and look like this person or that person. Why? Because they're becoming like the one they're beholding. And they're really worshiping. So if you want to know what normal looks like, you got to look at the perfect man, the only perfect man that ever walked this planet, Jesus Christ. Buddha, Muhammad, the rest of them, they're all in their grave. They could not pay for our sins because they were born in Adam just like you and I. We were born in sin. But Jesus Christ was supernaturally conceived by the Holy Ghost. And that seed was planted there supernaturally so that that child would be God and flesh together. God and flesh, incarnate. Amen. To become the substitute or the sacrifice for our sins. Thank God. But he came to reveal the heart of the Father. So what has to happen is we've got to renew our minds through the revelation or the revealing of what God is really like as he's showed us in this book right here. And I want to take it a step further because some people are full of this book, but they're not full of Jesus. The word, this written word, is to reveal to us the living word that we might know him who is eternal life. That we might have a relationship with Jesus Christ, be born of his spirit, and have an inheritance with him. So God gives us this book, this word, to reveal what he is really like. to reveal what normal is and what it is to be normal. And the more we become like Jesus, the more normal we become, right? And so I have a new, what, normal. What used to be normal to me now is abnormal. But when I was living in that normal, it was normal. And those people over there, those weird people, you know, those Jesus people, I'm not talking about religious Christians. I'm talking about born-again Christians, real Christians that are really living it, you know. They're not a whole lot, but they're there. And I hope we're in this room tonight. Amen? But I used to think those people were the abnormal ones. Until I came to Christ and He basically came into me and He changed my perspective and my mind. My thinking has been changing and I'm becoming to realize what really normal is. And I have a new normal now. And the world's not going to get you. It's okay. They didn't get Jesus either, you know. The religious people that were supposed to be teaching people who God really was and what He was like, they didn't recognize God when He showed up. They fashioned a God after themselves. They wanted God to me. God's like this. They were idolatrous. My God's going to be like this. Well, your God's going to be like that. No, He's God and He doesn't change. We need to change our minds. Our thinking has to repent. We have to understand that this is who God really is. And this is what He says. And He means what He says because He is King of kings and Lord of lords. And He has all authority in heaven and on earth. And we need to bow our knee today so that we can get our hearts right with Him and be prepared for the day when He shall come and pull us out of this mess. And He's going to pour out His judgment on all those who rejected His love. We reject His love by rejecting Jesus Christ. How many can see the signs of the times? We're living in the last of the last days. And men are blaspheming and mocking God and thumbing their nose at God. And, you know, God is gracious and long-suffering because He loves humanity. And He gives people opportunity after opportunity. But He's got a day that is appointed in which He's going to judge the wicked and the dead. Amen? He's going to judge the world. He's going to be the righteous judge. He's going to judge fairly. But Jesus is coming. Just like He said. And so what we want to do is really know what God is like. So that we're not deceiving ourselves. There are many people, even in the church, who are deceiving themselves because they have erected in their own minds a Jesus that they like. That fits their own fancy, their own understanding. Their own lifestyle, thank you. I don't know about you, but I want to know the real Jesus. Because Jesus says, you will know the truth. And the truth shall what? Set you free. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. When you know the real Jesus, you will not be deceived anymore. Because the truth will dwell within you. And when His Spirit comes to dwell within you, He will begin to teach you. He will begin to show you the areas, little by little, step by step, the areas where we're off track. And He'll begin to mold us and shape us into the image of Jesus. So we'll become really normal. So, I know that people don't get me because they think I'm weird or wacko or whatever. It's okay. I've got a new normal. And it's not a new normal. It is what is really normal. Because remember, truth is what is real. Truth is what is really real. If something is true, it's real. If something is fake, it may look real, but it's really not. Deception, if you're deceived, is you said, well, to me, that was my normal. Well, your normal was abnormal. You just didn't know it. Now, you're coming to the real normal. And you're seeing what is true. And once you discover what is true, through the revelation of this word who reveals to us Him who is true, then we're no longer going to be duped by the lie. You remember in World War II, Hitler and the Nazis, they used what you call propaganda. Well, we're doing it today, right? The world is filling, you know, you with propaganda. And in particular, you know, they made the Jews to look like they were just subhuman and they needed to be discarded. And, you know, and they kept using this message over and over until people actually began to believe the propaganda. North Korea is a great example of that. You know, those people are so duped that they've lived in that bubble and that's all they've known. They've been taught. And there's a lot of good people there, but they've just been lied to all their lives and they've never been exposed to what is true. And so they are what you call deceived. They have accepted a lie as though it were true. Well, let me tell you something, and some of you know this, but the word of God is getting into North Korea. The South Koreans also are sending up balloons, scores of balloons, and directing them towards North Korea, and they're dropping scriptures, and people are finding Christ, and there's a huge underground movement there, amen? And that church is alive. They're on fire for Jesus, and it's beginning to crumble underneath because underneath, you know, there are these people that are praying for revival to fall, the fire of God to fall. I'm talking about the Spirit of God when I say the fire, amen, on that nation. So there'll be an awakening and they'll come to faith in Jesus. And I believe, folks, it's coming and it's going to happen amazingly so. It's going to be a shift and where it's going to be a sudden shift. It's going to be like East and West Germany, I believe. In a day, nobody thought that could ever happen. Boom, the wall came down. God did that. And the gospel's gone out, folks. But talking about the deception of propaganda and how the enemy has lied to us and poisoned our minds through all the years and through our experiences, and we've got a twisted view of what reality is. So everyone just kind of does his own thing and, well, to me, reality's like this. You know, this is the buzzword today. Create your own reality, right? Well, that may be your reality, but this is my reality. If you want to know what's real, you got to know what's true. How many would agree with me that if you jump out of a building, it's a 10-story building, you're going to fall and you're probably going to die? That is a fact. That is reality. Now, you may think you're Superman, and you can jump out and fly like a bird, but you're going to hit hard. You understand? But a person deceived would think, well, that's my reality. I don't care. You can tell me, oh, that stop sign don't mean anything to me. That's just your reality. Oh, yeah? How many know the stop sign can be a good thing? It's there to protect us. God gave us rules to protect us. He gave us the law. He gave us His word. He gives us His Spirit. And now we have that law written in our hearts by the Spirit. If you're born again, that's what Jesus is talking about. And then you know in your heart what is right. Now, and when you don't, when you make the wrong, you know, decision, you like something inside of you goes, ah, that was dumb. I shouldn't have done that. But the good news is you've got an advocate. You've got a defense lawyer. You can immediately turn to Jesus. Don't ever run away from God when you mess up. Run to Him. He's there to forgive you. Just run to Him. Say, Father, I'm sorry. Forgive me. And because He's a good Father, He says, I forgive you. I've already taken care of the sin problem for you. But if you don't repent, I can't help you. I can only save you if you come to me. Don't run away from God. Always run to Him. When you mess up, just run to Him. Because His arms, that's the heart of God. His arms are always open to us, and He's gracious, and He's merciful, and He's patient, very long-suffering. And He's not willing that anyone should perish. Now, we're willing that people perish sometimes when they get under our skin, you know, or people that we just don't like, maybe in politics or whatever. But, you know, that's not God's heart. God's heart is for redemption. He's not willing that anyone should perish. He's not willing that Saul of Tarsus, who was a terrorist terrorizing the early church, would perish. But he got a hold of the guy, the least likely, and he, you know the story, he knocked him off that horse, he brought him down, and he blinded his eyes, and he spoke to him, he says, "Why are you kicking against the pricks, Saul?" You know? "Who are you, Lord?" he said. And so from that point on, he had a transformation situation going on. He began to see things differently because God intervened and God touched him. And then he became the greatest, really the greatest apostle of all time. Isn't that amazing how God would take somebody who was once persecuting Christians and make them his greatest apostle? That's how God does it. Oh, God can't use me because I'm just a drug addict, or I'm just this or that. And oh, shut up. God can use you. God wants to use you. God wants to raise up those who are downtrodden. He wants to take the ones who are the least likely, even. And he wants to fill them with his Spirit and raise them up and use them in mighty ways, incredible ways that you said, "I never thought possible. I never thought I would be here today," you know? And I realize it's not of me, but it's of God. It's by his grace. It's because God decided to choose this guy to do what I'm doing today. Not because I'm special, but because God just decided you're going to do this. And we just said, "Yes, Lord, I'm willing. I'm with Jesus. I'm going with Jesus. I'm going with normal here. I've been deceived long enough. I've believed the propaganda. I believed the lie of the devil long enough. I'm going to start listening to what God says, and I'm going to start living by the truth. And I've got a new normal. And I've discovered that I am free today." Folks, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to declare this today. I am free from guilt, from shame, from fear. I am free from condemnation. And I'm free, hear this, from the power of sin. I'm not saying I don't make mistakes occasionally. I do. But I'm telling you, I'm free from the power of sin. It can no longer tell me what to do. Amen? Before, the devil always told me what to do, pretty much. And I always went along with it because I didn't have any strength, any power to fight it. You know, I did what felt good at the time. Now, because I'm in Christ, that power of sin has been broken in my life. And now I can live a holy life. And I don't even have to wear one of those funny little collars and funny robes. It's not about that, is it? It's not about outward adornment. It's about the spirit, the heart, and the work of grace that God does in our lives in changing us. So what we need is to know what God is really like and that he is a father. And if you haven't had a father or maybe a good father, you have a father in heaven who loves you dearly. And he wants you to come to him. He wants you to just let him have your life. Let him have whatever's left. It doesn't matter if you're young or you're old. You come with what's left of your life like I did. And I said, "Jesus, I can't help me. Help me. Do something with this mess." Would you bow your heads tonight? I want to encourage you to just say yes. You don't have to crawl on your knees. You don't have to do penance. You don't have to say Hail Mary and all that stuff. You just need to come to Jesus. He's the way, the truth, and the life. You don't need religion. You just need a relationship with the living God. And Jesus said, "I stand at the door of your heart and I knock." If you're hearing him tonight, has God been speaking to you? God's been reading your mail tonight and you know it. I would encourage you just to say yes, because if you reject him, you're rejecting his love, his offer of pardon and forgiveness and mercy, that you won't get what you really deserve. God will cancel that assignment that was against you. God will forgive you. That means he'll take away those mistakes of the past. He'll actually blot them out. He'll wash you. He'll make you clean. And he'll give you a new spirit, a new heart. If you just say, Jesus, and let's just pray it together out loud. If you mean business tonight, say, Jesus, I believe you died for me. You proved your love for me. I can't save myself. Save me, Jesus. Change my life. Change my heart. Change my mind. I surrender to you. I ask you, Lord, to come into my heart and be my Lord and Savior. And I declare with my mouth what I believe in my heart, that Jesus was raised from the dead and that Jesus is Lord of all. And I declare you today to be Lord of my life. Jesus, I come to you. You said I would never be rejected if I come to you. Thank you for receiving me. Thank you for forgiving me. Teach me your ways. Lead me in the truth every day. Make me ready for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. God, we say, make us ready. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Don't be afraid. Jesus said, stand up for me. I'll stand up for you. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. God has not made us cowards. He's given us a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. Hallelujah. We bless you, Lord. Now let's begin to bless the Lord and praise his name. Hallelujah. We glorify your name tonight, Father God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, just let your kingdom come and will be done. Hallelujah. 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 And we declare freedom tonight to the captives in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Everybody say freedom. In Jesus' name. I am free. Hallelujah. 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 Rejoice in the Lord always. Hallelujah.